listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the final hour of Miller and Moulton. If you're in Lake City, Tampa, St. Pete, or Charlotte and Venice, we are halfway home. If you live in the 239, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network, thinking of the 239, that's where we're having our first golf tournament. 4 weeks tomorrow, Saturday, June 11th, West Bay in Estero. Sign up on the website, floridasportsnetwork.com. We're feeding you. We're giving you a nice shirt. Good conversation, scantily clad women driving around with alcohol on the course. You know how it goes. It's a scramble. It's a good time. Have you out of there by early afternoon? You can enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Find me in the beer cart.
FloridaSportsNetwork.com. Sign up. We haven't done an event in 3 years for a few reasons. We'd love to see all of you. We're very thankful of our audience. Pat Kerwin, we're very thankful for as well. He joins us 812 times during the season, courtesy of Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and many points in between. Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh. Pat, how the hell are you?
I'm doing fine, and I might attend your West Bay event. I live pretty close to that.
I heard you can get there in a hurry, Pat.
Right.
Yeah, I could actually score the ninth hole and see who's cheating. There's a lot of balls in the water over there, I can tell you that.
I was going to say, we were counting on you as a volunteer. Okay, you were going to have your own cart, girl. Don't tell your wife.
Well, what's the date of that?
June 11th, Pat. June 11th. Might have to make that June trip back down from New York at that time of the year.
Oh, I might still be around. We'll see. Anyway, it sounds like it's going to be a great time, and you left out one thing. The course is in tremendous shape.
Yes, it is.
I can tell you that.
Yes.
As Pat's probably looking at it as we're speaking right now. Pat, what do you make out of NFL schedule release day, other than the fact that the league's done a brilliant job to get on a handful of networks and take 2 hours of television for basically telling us when games are going to be played, since we've already known who they were going to be played against for 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, it's a filler, right? We're out of things. They love events, so they've got the draft and they've got all the things that go on in this league, and then all of a sudden there's this dead spot, which they said, let's use the schedule to fill up a week of time. Let's leak games for 5 days. Like, that makes the world go around, and then we'll go from there. A couple of things that just jumped. First off, let me just say it from the NFL side. I say this every year when you have me on for this particular show. Coaches don't care about anything but the opening game. They care about where's our bye? That's a scheduling issue for those guys, an installation issue. And then, you know, how many times are we on the road? That's it. And mostly they care about the opener and where's the bye. And the rest of it, they just deal with them. Because coaches and players are basically programmed to go 1 week at a time. I never saw a player say, gosh, you see who we're playing December 12th? Forget it. They don't think that way. But we live in a different world. Things that are on my mind, how many teams are stuck with a division game week one? There's six of those games. That's not a good thing. I will start a war on my show today because I can't stand certain teams getting 5 nationally televised games. Now, I love the Patriots. Great respect for Coach Belichick, but they're going to be on primetime 4 straight weeks? I don't think so. I don't think I like that. And why are the Raiders getting 5 nationally televised games? And what about the Baltimore Ravens? You know, so every year we got to see Dallas 5 times, no matter what their record was the year before. They happen to be okay right now. Do we really have to see the 49er young quarterback 5 times? I don't think so. But those are the kind of things that irk me a little bit now that I'm on the media side. That 5 straight road game thing, that's a problem. Especially for Miami. You think about that one. And I know you guys have covered it. The 49ers, the Chargers, and the Bills, 3 straight road weeks. That's pretty much going to end their season.
9 teams with 3-game homestands, 4 teams with 3-game road trips. Bucks, one of the teams with 3 home games in a row. Miami, one of the 4 with the 3 road games in a row. And as Pat detailed there, all formidable, all on the road. All in a row, and lots of miles of travel involved with all of them. You wonder, Pat, actually, if you're the young coach, do you almost go on the road, if you know what I mean, and set up shop somewhere, and you're out there for 10, 12, 15 days, and you travel to all three games from one college destination?
Well, certainly when you fly out to play the 49ers week 13, you'd stay out there, I would assume, and play the Chargers the next week. But after that, you got to come back to play Buffalo. So most coaches want to go home and get in their house again, get back in their routine, and then pop up to Buffalo. But three road trips in a row like that, two of them on the West Coast, yeah, I think four teams got the bad deal of three straight road games, but that's the worst of the other ones. You can look at the other ones and make a case, but Green Bay goes to Washington, then Buffalo. They'll go home. They won't stay in the East, and then they have Detroit, so that's not that bad. Kansas City, Cincinnati, Denver, Houston. Well, they got a breather with Houston. In Philly, the Giants, that's not a road trip. They don't even take a plane. They take a bus. Then they go to Chicago, no big deal there, and then Dallas. So Dallas would be a big deal, and it's the third road game of three. So you could make a case that that's troubling. I guess maybe the most important, not important, the most interesting thing to me is week one. David, you're the historian here. I really spend a lot of time on first-time head coaches. Your first game ever, Eberflus is playing Shanahan. McDaniel's playing Belichick, Dable's playing Vrabel, and our friend O'Connell's playing Matt LaFleur. So I do think the other guys that have been head coaches, they kind of know the routine, especially guys like Lovey, Doug Peterson, maybe not so much Dennis Allen, who's a small, short-time Raider coach. But those other guys, Eberflus, McDaniel, Dable, O'Connell, I think if we really, and I don't have the time to do it, but check the history of first-time, first-game head coaches. I don't think it's a very good record.
Well, and also, you know, we get into week one because the stats out there, Pat, basically half the teams that win week one make the postseason. 25% of the teams that win that lose week one make the postseason. And you threw in those division games in there, that's where it gets really hairy. Patriots-Dolphins week one game, Steelers-Bengals games one. I mean, that's where this gets pretty hairy early for teams.
Yeah, I think those division games that make compound the loss in week one, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, you know, it's really weird. People still don't want to give Cincinnati any credit for last year. Like, oh, yeah, they'll be back in the pack. Baltimore's back. You know, that's how people talk to me. But the loser of that game, Pitt-Cincinnati, A, it's a loss in week one, and B, it's a loss in your division. I just find that thing interesting as it relates to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's going to be on national TV five times. They kind of get the, and I like Pittsburgh, but you know, no matter what, they're going to get five all the time. And I think this is not the year to give the Steelers five nationally televised games.
He's Pat Kerwin, NFL Radio Moving the Chains, weekday afternoons. Pat joins us courtesy of Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and many points in between Pinchers because you can't fake fresh. Was there something when you were with a couple of organizations, because you said coaches and players think a certain way. Do organizations look at the schedule? Like, and also, how much input do they get? You know, do they get 10 minutes with somebody in which the NFL says, okay, tell me what it is you want. Tell me what it is you want to avoid. We'll do the best we can. Does that happen?
Well, Mike, I talk to cats every year, and I'm having Mike North on today. Michael handled this, all the questions we have about this stuff. Yes, teams call and say, especially if they have special date issues with concerts, things like that, or they'll complain. Like one of those two guys, I won't mention which one, once said to me, it's a good year if all 32 complain to us. You know, that's the way it is. I don't think anyone feels totally satisfied with their schedule, and they like to bring up last year, or in the case of some, you know, 4 years in a row, we've had this open up with, and then they go, can you make sure we're not doing that again? So there are requests from those guys, and they try to handle as many as they can. But at the end of the day, they run millions of trials trying to get the schedule right. And then, of course, that Brady thing where he decides late to unretire, they had to go back and figure out how to get five home games for them, you know, five nationally televised games for them, excuse me. So they do have some issues, but we're not in any more stadiums with baseball, so that whole subject went away, which was always a problem. Oh, there's, you know, remember when, who won the Super Bowl? I believe Baltimore won a Super Bowl, but the Orioles had a game or something, and they didn't have enough security to handle both an opening night, so all of a sudden Baltimore didn't get that classic home opener after a Super Bowl. So there's those issues happen. No more with the baseball, but it does happen with security. You look at some of these places like Kansas City where the baseball stadium and the football stadium are next to each other. It's not so much the game, it's do you have enough bodies for security? And so those things can still enter the equation.
Which team's got the most pull? I mean, is there a team that has more pull, Pat? When they call up and say, we've got this date or that date, are there teams that have more pull, and who are they, not named New England?
Well, I think Dallas. I mean, I've said it earlier on the show already. They get five nationally televised games no matter what their record is, and their fans always go, well, you know, last year I made this case, we didn't have five for Buffalo or Tennessee, and I said, I'm tired of watching Dallas all the time. Oh, my goodness, the Dallas call. It's like they're calling to tell me something I don't know. You know, we have a huge national audience. That's why they do it. I said, that's not my point. My point is there are better teams than yours, and I'm not seeing them enough. Well, they didn't like that. But I plan on saying it again this year. But Dallas seems to me like there's a couple of rules that are written in stone, and that's one of them. Dallas get five home, you know, five national games no matter what. I don't know why. As I said, do we need to see New England four straight weeks on nationally televised games?
Well, I didn't understand why they got so many primetime games the first year after Brady. I think they got five that year as well, and it was almost as if the NFL didn't get the memo that he wasn't there anymore. And remember about the Cowboys. It's five primetime games. Thanksgiving does not count as a primetime game. So they really get six, you know, marquee time slots, which is over a third of their schedule. We got to take a break. More with Pat Kerwin on the other side. You can send us a question. Either you could, you know, send it, text it to us, FSN Radio 21000, or for those of you that are taking us in via Twitch, you can send your question there as well. More with Pat Kerwin, courtesy of Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and many points in between. Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh. Miller, Moulton, and Pat Kerwin on the other side here on the Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Pat Kerwin, kind enough to join us for another 10-minute segment. Pat of Moving the Chains, weekday afternoons on NFL Radio, courtesy of Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, a dozen locations in between. Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh.
Pat, we got a question from our Twitch chat room, and I think it's a good one. Yinzer asking about what's going on with Pittsburgh with Kevin Colbert's replacement. Do you have any news there?
Well, they had a series of interviews before the draft, and draft preparation. Kevin told me it was like he felt like he was getting out of his draft chair and going down to run those interviews, a bit of a distraction. But so they interviewed a lot of guys. They've had like four recalls on guys. I still think Omar Khan, the in-house guy, is going to get it. Now, I could be wrong there, but if they hire Omar, he is a strictly business guy, cap, you know, contract negotiator. So I think then he will take the opportunity to hire the best personnel guy to team up with him from all these interviews. That would be the way I think they'd do it. If they go outside and get a personnel guy like a Kevin Colbert type guy, then they'll keep Omar in his spot. But I don't know how long Omar would stay. So I think Omar, they like, look, Omar's been around there a while. They know him. He knows the Steeler way, if you will, and I still think he's got a really good chance to get it, and then they'll hire someone from the outside to come in and run personnel part.
We'll say, though, I believe the last time the Steelers had a major decision like this, remember they had Wisenhunt and was it Grimm, the offensive line coach, or Munchak. I mean, both their guys in-house were thought to be the leading candidates, and they hired Tomlin. So they've shown in the past they're not afraid to go against what most people think they're going to do.
Well, that's true. They hired Callaway the same way. Callaway was like a 32-year-old special teams coach in Kansas City. So they've done that before, and I do think they like the young coach thing. But it's been a long time since they've had to really retool the personnel. 22 years, Kevin told me he was there. So I think the interviews, it's the old Al Davis trick. Bring in a lot of guys that know what's going on and have them tell you what they think of your roster, your cap situation, everything. So it's a pretty interesting way to find out what the outside world thinks of you. And you've been insulated for 22 years, not really. You even look at the way they draft. Yeah, they moved up for Troy Polamalu, but mostly they stay right where they are and take players. So they're gonna get a mouthful from everybody about how modern teams are doing things. Not that they're going to want to do all of it, but I think that's good for them. Mr. Rooney, I talked to Mr. Rooney about it. He said when that guy says to me, I'm enjoying the interviews, I go, he's learning things that he wanted to know. Just back to the schedule for a second. Two things I left off my little list here. So Seattle's going to play Germany, and the week before that, they play in Arizona. Is that ridiculous? Couldn't you get them an East Coast game so they can just pop over to Germany? No. That's one problem. And then this is right to Mark. This is a Mark question. Mark, why do the Raiders always have so many East Coast games? I think they have four in the East Coast time zone this year. And they always seem to have the most. Do they want to punish the Raiders?
Yes. The quick answer is yes. Until someone not named Davis owns that team, yes. And I know I have no proof behind it, and we can't find any proof behind it, Pat, but do you disagree with the concept?
Well, I think the proof was, did he sue for the rights to Los Angeles? David, you're a historian. What was the lawsuit that Al Davis, he wanted to retain his rights to Oakland, but he also wanted to retain the rights to Los Angeles.
Right, and he has sued the NFL twice, and he was successful twice. And most people aren't. Listen, and Pat, you know this even better than us, but you ask people in the Raiders organization, and they are absolutely convinced, all right, that the league sticks it to them every chance they get about anything they can. Any executive with the Raiders has believed that for the longest time, whether it's true or not. Speaking of a guy named Davis and the Raiders, we have a question that came in from RCB about, now you got an investigation into Davis and the Raiders. We have Snyder. We have Ross. What do you think the NFL is going to do here, Pat? And do you think they move quickly? Is this something you think they want resolved before September 8th? Or is this something that's going to take a lot longer than that?
Well, I've talked to a couple of lawyers about that, those subjects. The first thing they'll say is they're all different stories, so they're not going to get grouped together, nor did any of us on the show right now think they were. That's the first thing. Second thing is, unless they find stuff in writing, this is right from a lawyer, he goes, unless they find something in writing, these things will go away. So in the case of what's going on in Miami, I don't think there's an offer that they can present and say, here's what they tried to do. So I think they're going to take a while. I think the season will go on with some of these owners, Snyder in place and everything else. I don't think they feel, hey, we got to get Snyder out of there before the opener. So I do think in most legal battles, when you're dealing with these kind of guys with the kind of money they have. Now, you'll turn around and tell me, but look how quickly Carolina fell apart. Yeah. That has happened, but you asked me if I think they're gonna. I think they're gonna go slow. I'd like to know what you think, fellas.
I don't know how either of these go that quickly. I mean, I don't think anything in the legal world goes that quickly, and I think the NFL lives to drown these things out as long as possible. The longer they make them drowned out, usually the more noise goes away, Pat.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think they know how to. They fight these kind of battles all the time. It's nonstop for the NFL, and those guys have a strategy, and they're fairly effective with things. They're battling Congress all the time about multitude of things, and now these ownership things, and we'll see. Now, sometimes the NFL would like someone else to make the decision, so maybe Congress is going to figure out why Dan Snyder has to give up his team. I don't know. I don't follow it that much, but I do ask attorneys things like David just asked. Do you think it's going to happen quickly? And they say no.
I find it interesting, though. They wrapped up that Hugh Jackson thing pretty quickly, but you know, to be honest, the whole investigation into whatever is going on in Las Vegas, it should not take long. I mean, it really shouldn't if you think about it. I mean, there's not a ton of people to interview. And the former president of the Raiders did all the dirt. I mean, he sent them the report. I mean, it really should not take long. They could resolve this before the 4th of July, the Raiders one. The other two, I think, could take years. But I think this one could be resolved in 6 weeks.
Well, again, someone just said they're always trying to stick it to the Raiders. There's one you can stick it to them, but I don't know. I try to stick to the football part of it as much as possible. I get out of my lane. I don't know enough about the law to start citing what's going to happen here. But
all right. Well, speaking of football, Pat,
I will ask you this question. You guys have any suspicion? This is right to Mark again. Why isn't Cleveland getting 5 nationally televised games?
I think because we don't know what the deal is going to be with Deshaun Watson and how the NFL fans going to react to Deshaun Watson.
All right. I agree with that. And is it a telltale sign of what the league thinks they're going to do by not really programming them in more than twice?
We shall see. Miller and Moulton. Pat, safe travels. And we'll probably start talking once a week unless details, you know, make us do it twice a week.
Well, I'm going to make my announcement right here. I am reducing my workload from 812 appearances to 811. Is everyone okay with that?
There you go.
Perfect. Enjoy Quebec, Pat.
All right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you.
Pat Kerwin, he'll be on the air this afternoon, NFL Radio Moving the Chains. And he joins us twice a week. Most weeks, courtesy of Pinchers. From Tampa to Key West and many points in between Pinchers, because you can't fake fresh.
I'm going to do it next time. My next question, because there wasn't a lot of other NFL things and the schedule doesn't get him going. I just was curious how much USFL football he's watched and if he's watched players that he thinks can play in the league.
I'm willing to bet he hasn't watched a second.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, with the draft and what have you. But I'm guessing that he will start in June. Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the top of the hour. Our final segment of the week for those in Lake City and surrounding areas, Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte, and Venice. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Bonus hour to come at the top of the hour for those in the 239. Make sure you go to floridasportsnetwork.com. Multiple reasons. First off, if you miss any part of the show, our podcasts are posted, floridasportsnetwork.com. You can sign up for our first golf tournament that we're doing. We hope it's a series of tournaments throughout the late spring and summer. We'll start in Southwest Florida. 4 weeks from tomorrow, June 11th, thanks to Twin Peaks Budweiser, flgolfcarts.com. Going to have a golf tournament. You know the deal. Scramble, foursomes, raise money for local charities.
Eat, drink, be merry.
Right. We feed you, give you a nice shirt, and we thank you for supporting the show. We haven't had a chance to do this out in public since 2019, so we're looking forward to it.
Last time we were out in public, Daniel Jones got drafted by the Giants.
We did a golf tournament a few weeks later, but yes, yes, exactly. 6th overall. That franchise in my life has not been the same since.
Boy, is that not the truth. All right. Seth Walder is an analytics guy for ESPN.
Dude, just want to say, last time we did an event, Tom Brady was a Patriot, but
yeah,
continue.
There you go. All right, Seth Walder is an analytics guy for ESPN. He has a little stat that I'll just, with the schedule that I'll throw at you. It is the best net rest differential relative to your opponents. Apparently, the Bills, according to this statistic, get the most rest of any. You know, they're the Super Bowl favorites, by the way.
Yes, they are.
And they apparently are going to be the most rested team in relationship to their opponents with a plus 13 days of rest. The Lions are plus 11. The Broncos are plus 9. The three worst, the Packers, minus 13. The Texans, minus 10. And the Patriots, minus 10. I don't care about the Lions and the Texans so much, but it will be interesting to see if this affects the Bills, Broncos, Packers, and Patriots.
You know what's so funny about the Bills? So last night, a Bills fan that we both know is getting married today. And so they had a little rehearsal thing last night. And I stopped by. I'm unable to make their wedding, but stopped by last night, gave them, you know, their gift and, you know, was there for a bit. And, you know, this is the sexiest the Bills have been since the early 90s. Well, it's, I mean, he's in his early 30s there. I mean, this is the sexiest they've been basically in his life. And he was bemoaning all the primetime games. He's like, we don't play at 1 o'clock on Sunday anymore.
Oh, that's what happens when you get good.
And that's exactly what I told him. I go, dude, you're going to have to adjust because your quarterback's not going anywhere. This is going to become a regular thing for years. You're going to be good. I mean, come on. They are putting you the first Thanksgiving game for you, not for the Lions. That game is sexy because of you. You know, of all the opponents they could have given the defending Super Bowl champion Rams to begin defense of what they accomplished, they gave them you.
So you open on a Monday nighter, you know, for the complaint. Then you got a couple of roadies. You play your second home game is the Pittsburgh Steelers, right now scheduled to be a 1 o'clock start. Then you play the Packers. Don't know what to tell you. You get the Vikings at one. You get the Browns at one. You get the Jets at one. The Dolphins game is a TBD at this point, as is the Patriots, because in the flex thing. But, I mean, most of your home games are at one. Shut up.
Hey, Browns fan had to deal with this last year. I mean, didn't the Browns get 5 primetime games last year, plus a Christmas game against the Packers? It was either 4 primes in Christmas or 5 in Christmas, coming off the 11-win season and a playoff win. The Browns were a trendy, sexy team a year ago at this time.
You know, the Dolph fan probably hates the Patriot fan more than any right now, or hates the Patriots more than anybody. But the Bills and Jets are close seconds. This type of attitude could get the Dolph fan to really not like the Bills fan. Because all the Dolphin fan wants is 5 primetime games. That's all they yearn for, is to have 5 events that we can say, damn it, baby, we're back in primetime.
To be sexy again.
Yes. That's all the Dolphin wants.
There are many slogans in about our country in the last few years, but the Dolphins want to be able to one day say, the Miami Dolphins, sexy again.
That is 100% true, by the way.
And we know.
I speak for all of Miami.
Yes.
We've been doing this show nearly as long as you've been alive, and they've not been good in that time. I mean, they hadn't. Well, we know.
And they haven't been sexy. I mean, the NFL officially said yesterday, one of the sexiest teams we have is the Buffalo Bills, and we are not holding back. We are all in on her. We are marrying her. We are walking her down the aisle, baby.
Yeah, we're not wasting a second with this one. Not even taking a chance. And that's why they won't divorce the Patriots.
Which they should. I mean, I'm sorry. They're not sexy.
No, but it's a humongous fan base.
It is.
Coast to coast.
They're not sexy.
They're not. You're right.
I mean, listen, I picked them to make the playoffs last year. I thought they were going to be pretty good. They turned out.
Why? Because you thought their defense was going to be good with all the players.
No, right.
What you were basing it on was nothing sexy.
Hey, you're the fantasy player amongst the two of us. How many Patriots are you going to have on your fantasy team? How many do you desire to have on your team?
Not many.
Right. They're not sexy. They're not. They could be good. They could make the playoffs again.
But Bill's so polarizing that there are, for every Patriot fan out there, there are five people that hate the Patriots. That's why they're on television.
I guess.
Now, I don't know if it'll be that way next year if they take a decline in any way, shape, or form. But they're going to bank on no decline first.
I mean, when you're selling the New England Patriots, who are you selling?
Bill.
I mean, Mac Jones?
No, Bill.
You know, got a running back or a wide receiver you want to sell?
Got a head coach.
Okay. I mean the sweater?
On to Cincinnati.
The hoodie? We're selling the hoodie?
On to Cincinnati, which is what the NFL has done. They are on to Cincinnati.
Now, I'll say this. 3 years from now, when he puts enough wins on the board in which he's entering a season in which he could break Don Shula's record and become the all-time winningest coach in league history, then I think you go back to selling the hoodie again. But we talked about it 2+ years ago when Brady left. There was an unbelievable case of Patriots fatigue that's out there. If I was the NFL, I would have backed off the Patriots this year.
I would have as well.
In a big way.
But they're not divorcing them yet.
No. I mean, heck, they've got 4 primetime games in a row. Which is not easy to handle, by the way. I don't think that's a scheduling advantage at all. Patriots at Dolphins to begin the year, oh, by the way. So what are they this year? Weeks 1 and 17, when last year they were weeks 1 and 18.
Yes.
And they're just flipping it. Last year they started in Foxborough, ended in Miami, and this year they go the other way.
Dolphins are quirky. They play the Patriots week 1, they play the Jets like week 5, and then they play those two weeks 17 and 18.
Well, the NFL's trying to schedule division games the last 2 weeks of the year when they can.
No, I know that, but to have one week one as well, it just a quirky part of the schedule for the Miami Dolphins.
And the key will be, can Miami put themselves in a position where that final game, where they are playing the Patriots and the Jets, and they can go to the playoffs if they win those games?
We played the Bucs schedule game during the last break quickly, just having fun. I forced David to do it, even though he hates it. I mean, just absolutely hates it.
12-5 is what we came up with for Tampa Bay.
But there's a couple of key spots in the schedule. They have back-to-back home games against Green Bay and Kansas City. We put those games as a split. Beat Green Bay and lose to Kansas City, it's going to bode a lot better to get some home field advantage. They also play Baltimore and the Rams back-to-back at home.
Right. Win the Rams game.
Right.
It's an NFC game. It's somebody that head-to-head may get you a tiebreaker come playoff time.
But the quarterbacks that are coming to Tampa this year, holy Toledo.
Well, you just mentioned right. That's Lamar, that's Mahomes, that's Rodgers, and that's Stafford.
Yeah, your home opener's Rodgers, followed by Mahomes.
And Tampa, by the way, on the road the first 2 weeks of the year.
Right. Then they come home for Green Bay, Kansas City, and then you have Marcus Mariota with Atlanta. Couple of road games, Lamar Jackson, and then you have Matt Stafford come in. Then you go to Germany for Seattle, and you come back after a you're actually gone for 5 weeks if you're Tampa. You go to Germany on Sunday, November 13th. You have a bye on the 20th. Oh, I'm sorry, they're New Orleans at home. I thought I had an at there. I'm sorry. But it's still a little almost a month break from being home. Then you get New Orleans with Jameis. Then you get Joe Burrow. Well, and then, of course, then you're going to get Baker Mayfield on New Year's Day with Carolina. Just slipped that one right past the goalie. Didn't even look up when I threw that in.
No. I'm trying not to encourage you. Someone, Jatharian, in our Twitch chat room saying that the Eagles got five primetime games. I did not notice that, but I know they have 2 Monday Night Football games, both at home also. Week 2 and, like, midway through the season, mid-November game, I believe they host Washington. Anybody think the Packers going to take a half a step back without Devontae, or do you think that defense, quite frankly, is so good that it can carry them if early in the year they're struggling to score points?
The half a step back may be there. I don't know if we'll notice it in the regular season again because I think, like you, Chicago's taking a step back. Detroit's Detroit, and I don't know if Minnesota's going to be as good as they were last year. I could see Green Bay going 6-0 in the division again.
Oh man, Minnesota better be better than they were last year. Heck, I got everybody fired. I know it's a first-time head coach and all, but Minnesota should be better, to be honest with you. First of all, the defense can't play worse. And, you know, you can rail on Kirk Cousins all you want. He's probably a top 12 quarterback in the league. Now, he's at the bottom of it, but he's certainly a top half, probably a top third. And they got a big-time receiver and a big-time running back. I mean, they should be, and I think they should be a playoff team. I thought they underachieved last year. But if they're not, doesn't seem as if they're going to have any challenge in the division. And let's be honest, you know, I know we call it the NFC least, but how much better was the North than the East last year? I mean, the Eagles did make the playoffs at 9-8, and Washington won 7 games.
I think the East was better than the North last year.
So, you know,
at least as good.
And if you don't think Minnesota's going to be any better than they were last year, well, they had a losing record last year. And none of us think that the Bears or the Lions are going to have a winning record. So Green Bay is going to be in a division again with 3 teams with a losing record. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Minnesota is going to win at least 9. But, I mean, once again, that's how you get the 1 seed, baby. That's a recipe to go at worst 5-1, but there's a chance for you to throw 6-0 on the board.
Then just take care of business in conference, and you're staring at a 1 seed. Although we know what that's done for them in the past.
Exactly. Packer fans like, listen, enough of the regular season. Could care less. It's all about the postseason at this point.
You're going to have to stick around for the bonus hour on Twitch for the Jags schedule game. I do want to remind you.
Are we really doing that?
To sign up. FloridaSportsNetwork.com, the Miller and Moulton Golf Tournament. Coming June 11th to West Bay. You can sign up as a single or as a foursome. Go to FloridaSportsNetwork.com right now. Look at all the information there. We hope you can join us on June 11th at West Bay for the Miller and Moulton Golf Tournament.
It'll be fun. 4 weeks tomorrow. Why not? What else? Where are you going to go? All right. Panthers, they put away the Caps tonight?
I think that they do. I really think that Washington missed their chance in Game 5.
Both Florida and Calgary are better than Washington and Dallas. It's just a matter of will they prove it. Like, Edmonton's better than the Kings, but they hadn't proved it. But they did last night to force a Game 7. I think Dallas forces a Game 7 against Calgary. Ooh. But I think the Panthers win their first series since the first term of the Bill Clinton administration tonight.
26 years.
May of 96, the last time the Florida Panthers won a playoff series.
Tampa St. Pete, Lake City, Port Charlotte, have a terrific weekend. We'll be back Monday morning. For those of you in the 239, the bonus hour is on the other side as we close out a Friday right here on the Florida Sports Network.